Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the SummerSlam preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's SummerSlam pay-per-view. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to SummerSlam, which is going out tonight at time of recording. It's Thursday afternoon, but it's going out tonight on Saturday night. Do join us for the live stream for that. And we did this a few weeks ago. Looking at this card, again, at time of recording, 10 matches on it. I think this is a bloody good SummerSlam, you know.
It's not bad, you know. I think there's two things that make this card potentially even better on the night than it looks on paper. Number one is the fact that, of course, we're dealing with a minimum of 40,000 people. This is not even the spaced out WrestleMania night one, but a real legit stadium, three quarters full. They might even get some more in on the day. It's Las Vegas. There's going to be holidaymakers. There's going to be tourists. And the fact that, due to reasons beyond WWE's control, thank goodness for that, this can only go a certain length. We have been on the wrong end of WWE promising to be out of the building by a certain time of night before in our lives. That's not the case in Vegas. I believe it's boxing going on, not to mention the fact that like Las Vegas is this entertainment hub, so there'll be other things that people want to go to. They're going to have to be fairly tight with time, and it's like going to be, what, a 10, 11 match card, that sort of night. Packing that into 3 to 3.5 hours is already more appealing than the prospect of them thinking, arenas are back, giant cards are back, 7 hours are back. Nobody needs that. Nobody wants to see any of that again. So I think that just should put everybody in a good mood for the show. And hopefully there's not enough time to ruin that buzz.
Challenge accepted. Let's start with a match that should hopefully be short. That being the WWE Championship match, Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. We were chatting about this earlier on the week, me and Murray, when we were answering the questions on the news. And someone pointed out we'd been very dismissive of like, oh, this will be nice. A nice short match and a good win for Bobby Lashley. And then someone said, yeah, what if it's not just A, either a short match, or B, not a win for Bobby Lashley? It feels, I mean, we were looking just earlier on today about Goldberg talking about he's only got a couple of matches left on his WWE contract, which either makes you think, well, I'll put the title on him, or one more go around. How are you feeling confidence-wise in terms of Bobby Lashley retaining?
I'm feeling medium confident on that result. I'm just not feeling terribly excited about this. WWE, and we've touched upon this most weeks on the Raw review, have had the better part of a month to drop a hook for this feud, and they haven't done it. I'm not going to crack the same joke again about using a wrestler's child because one happens to be called Hook on the other channel. But they have profoundly failed to tell any kind of significant story about why this match is happening, other than our old favourite, it's official. Goldberg kind of exists in Bobby Lashley's life for a bit. Then a couple of weeks later, the match is happening. Bobby Lashley rejected out of hand the first time, but there was nothing that needly that dragged him into saying, yeah, all right, then I'll fight you. Maybe that could have been the inciting moment between them, you know? And they're also battling against this existential dread that people have about Bill Goldberg. That amazing Brock Lesnar run of 2016-2017 feels even longer than the 4 or 5 years ago it actually was. People are reminiscing about the dreadful 2020 stuff with The Fiend and Braun Strowman. Don't have much nice to say about the 2019 match against The Undertaker when he had to go longer than the requisite 2-minute Goldberg squash. So much so that the pretty fun one against Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam 2019 has been largely forgotten. People don't remember that Goldberg, explosively over 2 minutes, can still be quite a lot of fun. And yeah, it's just the Drew McIntyre match, I thought, made Drew a bigger star as a result. But most people just want to remember that he wore baggy shorts instead of his trunks. There's just not many nice things being said about Goldberg, and they've not found much to make Lashley feel like an explosive opponent. The match has got to be all those things. It's got to be explosive. It's got to be quick. Lashley's got to look deadly in beating him. Goldberg, with one spear, hopefully not a jackhammer, has got to look deadly in getting a two count. And then that's pretty much it. Maybe, as we said, that'll benefit from the fact that at least two of these matches, maybe even three or four, have got to be kept brief. Maybe they'll benefit from that. If there was going to be one cash-in on this show, I would want it here. But we have sort of discussed over the desks today the idea that maybe Goldberg, with his two-match deal, would be like, oh, no, that's three matches. Like, yeah, but Goldberg, you're already out there in chunks. Big E's just going to come out with a briefcase. Just take a big ending. Sounds like a match to me, pal. Like, holding them up for 100 grand or something like that, or going down the old Jeff Jarrett route and getting half a milli before getting out of there. There is something to Big E cashing in on Goldberg specifically, because I get the sense the fans are going to be deeply unhappy at the prospect of Goldberg lifting that title at the end. So Big E's music hitting, and that wave of realisation amongst the crowd. It's happening, and Big E leaving with it. Like, amazing moment when you're back in a stadium. They're going to want something on this show that mirrors the emotion of Banks Belair from WrestleMania Night 1. And assuming it's not going to be Banks Belair on this card, maybe it's that. Maybe it's Big E.
Yeah, I mean, just talk about Big E. Obviously, he's on a different brand, but that doesn't really matter. And we are assuming, as I said, we're recording this in advance, he's got the briefcase back from Baron Corbin, who just legged it on last week's SmackDown, but we're recording that before that now. So who knows? Maybe it's been flogged by Baron Corbin to save him some money or something. But yeah, I think as much as he's on the brand with Roman Reigns and John Cena, I wouldn't involve him in any of that. And I feel like going forward, if it's such a beautiful story if he cashes in on Goldberg, and that wave of, or the roller coaster of, oh, bollocks, Goldberg's beaten Bobby Lashley, to like, oh, okay. And then you can literally just go, right, we'll move forward with Lashley versus Big E and take Goldberg out of the picture, really. Yeah. And then you've got the history with Xavier Woods and Kofi and what have you. Yeah, I really like that as an idea. I hope, for the time being, I hope it is just, like you say, a spear right out the gate, even though people should be ready that he's going to have an explosive start. Maybe setting up for another spear. Like you say, Jack Hammond makes me very, very worried. And Bobby Lashley, his insane athleticism when he's like 40-odd or whatever he is, dive over it. Maybe have Goldberg go into the post, but again, that's risky considering what we've had in the past there. And then just, yeah, like you say, just domination from Bobby Lashley in 3 minutes, 4 minutes at most.
Goldberg always looks pretty knackered just from his entrance, so they need to build a rest in early. Why don't the referee ring the bell and then both of them hit spears on each other at the same time and you get them down for a nine count, and then Lashley just is the first one to get up and just beat him, like, hit him again or something like that, and that's a lot. Like, he's floored him with a spear, but he's just too knackered to get back up from Bobby's.
So either way, Goldberg doesn't leave as WWE champion one way or another.
And the whole thing wants to go about 90 to 100 seconds.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Universal Championship match, though, because I've been excited about this match from the moment it was even first hinted at. And then it finally came to fruition, and we've had a lot of missionary talk on SmackDown. But John Cena, Roman Reigns has so many great prospects there. Like, I unquestionably want Roman Reigns to leave, possibly even to do a sort of Lesnar Cena match, dominating him after he said, oh, well, all I need to do is hang in there and 1, 2, 3. It's like, well, I'll try hanging in with this version of Roman Reigns, sort of thing. But there's also the potential, obviously, of John Cena beating Roman Reigns, of becoming this record-breaking world champion. Or, I can't remember who I saw suggesting this on Twitter, and I don't know whether or not you think it's a good idea or not, Roman Reigns submitting John Cena as a potential finish as well, just a, you know, cherry on the icing on the cake sort of thing. How do you see this one playing out?
I love that, because Cena always has those like rally towels that say never give up. So imagine just Roman like wiping the sweat off his face and throwing it into the crowd or something like that. Yeah, hopefully. The whole point of what's felt a little bit like a revisiting of the 2017 feud, with John Cena constantly talking down to Roman Reigns, attempting to undermine him in all those like cartoonish ways, hopefully all of that has existed for John Cena to get absolutely monstered at SummerSlam, to not realise what he's walking into. John Cena, gone to Hollywood, a little bit cocksure, hasn't remembered the lessons that Brock Lesnar taught him in 2014, and certainly hasn't spotted what Roman Reigns has become in the last 12 months while he was trying to escape the Firefly Funhouse from WrestleMania 36. Hopefully that's what this has been all about. Like, he can't be this tone deaf and thick as pig without it being for this purpose. Mm. So I want to see that. I want to see. He's going to get a couple of cool comeback spots. Of course he is.
But you've talked a lot in the past about Roman trying to avoid a fight as much as possible, cowardly sort of heel. And then when he finally goes, oh, bloody hell, right, I'll have to do this then.
Yeah.
And then you see the real side of him.
When he's got to get that gold glove dirty, he does, with people's sweat and blood and the odd spare tooth. Yeah, seeing his comeback should be really cool, and you can get at least one spot. I would say probably a pop-up attitude adjustment, so all is looking lost, and then he hits that of all things out of nowhere, because he has just said it's going to be as easy as 1, 2, 3, but he's only going to get the 1, 2, and then Roman's got a bit of recovery time, so Cena can get in a couple of spots and can maybe try and set up for him again. He's going to go for something obnoxious like the "you can't see me." That's not going to sit well with Roman Reigns, the head of the table. He's going to pop up and Superman punch him and decimate him. I don't think this is going to be like a short squash. You can probably tell a 10-minute story maybe with just that, with Roman likes to talk. He went down, his heel stuff went down brilliantly with the WrestleMania crowd. I'm reminded of that spot by the table where he just stopped what he was doing to jawjack with somebody at ringside and then got on with, I think it was putting Daniel Bryan through a table maybe. Mm. I look forward to some of that because I just love the way he interacted and has continued to interact with crowds. John Cena is going to do a couple of those. Again, fairly cartoonish, but he's an actor now, so maybe he's better. But those big, wide-eyed looks to the hard camera as if somebody reached through the screen and helped me because I am knackered. I am in deep water here. And then, yeah, the only caveat I want to put to all of that, because it does feel like the right way to go. A couple of people from within WWE have said, and it's to the usual news resources, so I know some people won't take this with anything more than a grain of salt, have said they have no intention of responding to CM Punk's impending debut in AEW. I say impending. It's happened now. I loved it.
I didn't think
we were going to go with CM Punk versus Hulk Hogan at All Out. But fair play for them having a second surprise up the sleeve. Big one. You know, Hogan's going to get booed in Chicago. So CM Punk's got the hometown home field advantage there. But yeah, fair play to them for that. But yeah, no, there's going to be... The idea was that we're not going to respond to that. We don't care. They're not selling it. John Cena, in the same week that news story came out, did his own. I'm going to drop a CM Punk reference into my promo thing, the old kiss goodbye sort of thing. It would be quite the response to CM Punk to do a CM Punk angle and have John Cena be holding that Universal title and kissing Roman Reigns goodbye as he leaves Las Vegas with the belt in tow.
In the summer of Cena as well. In the
summer of Cena. I don't think they will, but as soon as stories even emerged, oh, we're not even bothered. I was thinking, are they really bothered?
Yeah.
How are they going to show how not bothered they are? So there's that little nagging thing in the back of my mind, because if Cena's schedule is supposed to end at SummerSlam, so that would be another callback to Punk's schedule in Ring of Honor, when it was like everybody thought it was his last night and he won the belt. That's what happened in Ring of Honor. CM Punk's leaving, it's been brilliant, and he wins the title and signs his WWE contract on it. Imagine if John Cena mirrored that and won the title on his quote-unquote last night. WWE would probably get huge hype for the rematch, but I just don't want to see Roman Reigns' title reign end like that. That's a nightmare response scenario rather than something that rewards the last 12 months of booking. So I've only said that just to worry people.
Yeah.
Not because I think it's actually going
to happen. As much as I'd be intrigued for Vin Diesel to do it for family, or or for the lightning fist to be the thing that puts down Roman Reigns.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about the lightning fist. I'd forgotten all about the lightning fist. I've not spent enough time in the office with Phil Chambers to remember that the lightning fist is a thing. Oh God. Yeah, you can't beat him with a lightning fist.
I also thought as you were
talking... I want him to no-sell it. I want Roman's gorgeous face to no-sell the lightning fist, just to
his
look at him
beautiful
with disgust.
Teeth. Yeah. To just, I also like the idea when you talked about the you can't see me five knuckle shuffle thing. If he goes down for you can't see me and gets guillotined, and then that's the end of the match.
Yes,
I think it'd be fantastic. Let's talk about more championship matches. There's a whole load on this show. I think I know. I'm probably going to get a one-word answer here, or probably two-word answer. Who leaves as Raw Women's Champion? Because I mean, it's not been a great week for Nikki A.S.H. She got beaten in a singles match by Rhea Ripley, and then she got beaten in a tag match by a team featuring Charlotte Flair, although she didn't get pinned in that one, I suppose. But we've said this all along. Oh, that's nice, because then she'll leave as champion on Saturday. Is it that straightforward, or is this the end of this fairy tale for her?
It is that straightforward. Everyone's a loser. Everybody is a loser. Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley's singles feud, that ended at Money in the Bank. I guess it ended the next night because they had a rematch. But ended at Money in the Bank will take some beating as the worst feud of this year. I think that's fair to say. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley versus Nikki A.S.H. is running it pretty close. That's less than ideal, isn't it? It's not yet as bad as the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley feud. However, it's on the verge of it, and I think Nikki winning at the weekend will possibly complete its transition at the number one slot on the podium. Nikki, since winning that belt, has been positioned mostly as a loser. Yes, she has fought against the odds, and she has braved battles with the likes of Charlotte and Rhea and has stood up to the challenge of the two dominant wrestlers on Raw. But how dominant are they? They couldn't tell the time when they were fighting Nikki earlier this year. You're not exactly putting over your new champion against these like undefeated stars. They're theoretically undefeated. One's the queen, one's the nightmare. But what have they been over the last 3 months? Complete losers. Like complete jabronis in their own program with each other. So Nikki is in the unfortunate situation of having to try and be a credible champion when she's got no credible challenges and she isn't a credible champion herself. What chance has this got? The match might deliver. The Money in the Bank match was awesome. Oh. Legitimately really brilliant. And the triple threat with Asuka at WrestleMania Backlash, I think.
Yeah.
Was pretty strong as well. So there is enough evidence to suggest this might over-deliver on the night in terms of quality. Nikki will go over. Nobody will feel anything. And if the Las Vegas crowd are in the same mood as what we're hearing is happening at house shows, the smiling children's superhero, most earnest babyface in this roster, is going to get booed out of a stadium. I'm sure things will be absolutely fine.
Not if Pop.Wav's got something to say.
I do believe they are going to be at SummerSlam.
16-time Rollins champion. Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I'm slightly concerned that they're going to almost copy what they did at WrestleMania Backlash, i.e., Charlotte hits a natural selection and then gets pushed out and Nikki. It's bad. All of this is bad. So I'm going to move swiftly along to the SmackDown Women's Championship, which I think if you'd have told me in the immediate aftermath of WrestleMania that they're going to run this back, I'd have said, oh, cool. That'll be nice for Bianca to really put a period on this whole feud and really jumpstart or continue, I should say, her SmackDown Women's Championship reign. And then Sasha Banks has come back and I've gone, oh, I think I want her to win the title again. Is that bad?
I don't think it's bad. I think it's team bad. No, I completely agree. This is one of them cases where, as you say, I think we probably pitched this at the time before Sasha disappeared off television properly. I think we probably would have all assumed that they would have gone to the rematch at WrestleMania and that would have solidified Bianca Belair. That hasn't happened. Bayley pretty much did that instead. You know, their feud went on so long that was the job of her, I guess, was to try and make Bianca a credible champion. It's kind of the only real feud she's had other than Sasha, you know, mini TV thing with Carmella here and there. But yes, it's not been a rubbish reign for Bianca Belair. It's not been an amazing one, but it's not been a complete disaster. And I think it's okay to end this one here because Sasha Banks is the established star. She is the veteran. It's okay for the veteran to have gone away, studied, learnt the lessons of the last time and beat this, not a rookie, but this champion that's still living their dream. It's okay for the belt to change hands here. And I say this as somebody that loves both of these wrestlers and wants them both to succeed. Only one can hold the title at once. What this isn't going to do is headline. And it felt exactly like a headliner should at WrestleMania. It felt enormous. It felt like the biggest match on the card. It felt like a dream match. It was hugely emotional. It was it's probably my favorite match of the year in WWE at least. Mm-hmm. Had the amazing hair whip spot, which we're going to revisit here because it's been about hair stuff and the contract signing and with Sasha Banks using the hair for the bank statement on the table and not the go-home SmackDown, but the one before. I think we're going to have that teased again, but I think Sasha is going to dodge it second time around. She's going to be wise to it. She wants to be. She looks down every day and sees a massive scar across her belly. That should remind her of what happened to her at WrestleMania. Sasha retains here, and then you build the rubber match for a pay-per-view of your choice as the main event.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes the headliner. These two have been fortunate to only feud in front of crowds. How awesome is that? They had their first match at WrestleMania. They've had this comeback stuff while the crowds have returned, and now they're going to get their second match in front of this massive Las Vegas attendance. Find the next big attendance pay-per-view and have these two headline it to determine who is categorically the best. I think Bianca wins that and it becomes the making of her. But I think in order to do that, you probably do need to switch the title here.
And you've got, I don't know when the draft is, but Sasha's not going to be, it doesn't have to necessarily just be stuck on SmackDown. You could be moved around or whatever. I really like that. I do think Sasha may well regain this title. Match of the night still, even though it's not the main event?
Could be. It's going to be working against Cena Reigns, which I think will be unique. What this card hasn't got on paper is like a certifiable banger. Even Roman and Cena, because it's just, it could be that dominating thing. It could be a really cool experience, but nothing sort of approaching the 4, 4.5, even 5 stars or whatever your ranking system is. This has probably got the best chance of everything.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, let's transition beautifully from a match of the night contender to Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie.
Jesus Christ.
What on earth is going to happen when these two clash? And the fact that people are even contemplating what type of match they're going to have, I think speaks volumes.
Well, they're going to have a bad one. That's what type of match they're going to have. They're fighting over a doll, Wilborn. They're fighting, I think you know the doll's name. They're fighting over a doll. They're fighting over the fact that Eva Marie has returned to Raw, has wanted to assert a dominance in the women's division, but can't because of spooky bollocks and magic, and a doll of which, I've forgotten the name.
I think actually, now you mention it, I think I've got her name right about... Yeah, there it is. There we go.
Yeah, that's the guy. It's not even accurate to say they're fighting over a doll. Eva Marie and her own tag team partner, Doudrop, are fighting over a doll.
Yeah.
On Raw, Doudrop is like, it's a doll. And then all of a sudden was pretty scared by it winking. So Eva Marie was like, it's a fucking doll. Go and get the doll. So I don't want to get the doll. It's winking at me. I don't like the doll. So they're feuding with each other. They just can't coexist. They didn't even exist. This feud started in week one of their partnership, right? Alexa Bliss, in the meantime, has been the straw that stirs the drink. I don't want the drink.
Thank you.
I've had enough of the drink. So Alexa Bliss wins. As a wrestling match, I like Eva Marie as a piss boiler of a character, but Alexa Bliss is going to be required to carry the load from an in-ring point of view. And she isn't permitted to wrestle anymore. Have you noticed that when Alexa Bliss does a wrestling move, the crowd go wild? Because they remember that they used to be a quite good wrestler underneath this ridiculous character.
It's a great Sister Abigail.
Yeah, great Sister Abigail. I cannot fathom why they continue to handcuff her with this gimmick at this point. You know, the guy that originated it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't appear that people want to...
And it reminds them.
Yeah, they don't want to forget that he's gone. She gets these chants. And yet, they put her in a wrestling match because they obviously love the character. And it's against the one person that she's kind of got to carry through. I do expect Doudrop to get involved, but don't worry, because that interference is going to be neutralized by an inanimate fucking object, brother. The doll is going to do that Ellsworth wink again at Doudrop. Doudrop's going to get on the apron to do something and then suddenly drop off the apron. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's going to point this kind of Lily in the corner on the other apron. And the referee's going to do that. You're out here to Lily. So Lily's going to have to leave by herself. And then now I can interfere. But then the voodoo's going to attack and Alexa's going to hypnotise her to walk out and follow the doll out of the venue or something like that. 40,000 people are going to think we paid for this. Las Vegas. I know it's Las Vegas, but we shouldn't have taken a gamble on buying a ticket for a show.
Weed is legal in Las Vegas now, I think. So we're all good.
I love the idea of a heel miscommunication over a doll. I really, really do.
I think this is going to be one of those matches on the night. We're doing a live stream for it, obviously, that I'm going to be like, oh, I'm a bit tired, oh, hang on, it's the Alexa Bliss. Here we go. Let's go for this one. So I'm looking forward to it. But yes, Alexa has to win.
Do you know what I do potentially like about this, considering that they've just played so fast and loose with Alexa as a heel or a babyface anyway? emerging out of this, I am not completely against heel Alexa Bliss versus babyface Nikki A.S.H. If there's one character that you can kind of justify being lame enough to be scared of Alexa stuff and just over it, like, we used to be friends. And she's like, what do you mean we still can be friends? You've got this mask now. You know, you're like all these people you hide behind a mask. Isn't that right? Come to my park. They're probably going to do that, aren't they? That's probably going to be the Raw title program.
And I've just looked. I've just got the Wikipedia page in front of me. You know what's next after SummerSlam, don't you?
Have I forgotten a pay-per-view called Spooky Nonsense?
Extreme Rules the Horror Show.
Oh, my God. Of course, Extreme Rules. Perfect. Yes. They're going to have a fight in Alexa's Park, aren't they?
There you go.
The doll's going to be loaded with, like, a snooker ball or something. Swing Lily at her head.
Let's talk about, arguably, I'm just looking at this card, one of the most unpredictable matches on this card in terms of the result, because you can see it going either way. Mm. It's the Raw Tag Team Championship match. Very rare that we'd say something like that, but AJ Styles and Big Jawed Omos taking on the newly reunited RK-Bro. They've hung me on this on Raw. I really like what they've done. I've got to give them credit.
Yeah, so this was hot, if you can use that term, in the Thunderdome era. RK-Bro were immediately feeling like the act on Raw that people wanted to actually root for. 3 hours and you've got nobody to root for, can you imagine? But like RK-Bro became that act. And yeah, it could go either way. It does feel unpredictable. If RK-Bro win the titles, great, because their journey has felt one that it's been enjoyable to be on. Even down to 2 weeks ago when Randy Orton RKO'd Matt Riddle, but Matt Riddle smiled and Byron Saxon said, oh, that means they're friends. Randy Orton respects me too. You should see what he does to me backstage. He's been a relentless bully my entire career. So, like, you know, we got the coming together of them officially on the Go Home show. They've managed WWE, to their credit, to keep Orton off television for whatever reasons he was off, but to the point where it's peaked at the right time for this big match in this big stadium. It's pretty cool. And winning the titles is a nice feel-good moment. They can go on and have them for a sustained period, and then you do the split. Or, of course, our heroes implode on the biggest stage. This is the first true test of them as a team and as a unified team, just days after Orton has finally pledged some allegiance to Riddle. But all it might take is a miscommunication in the match for Orton to just look and think, oh, why did I name my colours to your mast? You're that same dickhead you were on that scooter. Couldn't speak to Asuka without laughing and having to walk off camera. You're exactly who you were when... How did all this begin? Was it like Elias and Jackson Riker throwing fruit or something? And Orton walked away. Am I getting my storylines mixed up? But, like, you're that tit from all the way back then, and you've never changed. And I was, why did I let down my apex predator guard and become your friend? And then they implode. Perhaps he boots him in the head. Because an RKO isn't a turn. We know that now. The turn is the punt, isn't it? A punt to a custard pie in the face type figure in Matt Riddle. I don't think that happens here. I think they win the titles.
I agree.
And I think it's defeat along the way that causes the punt.
I feel like you could easily have a sort of intriguing storyline where it's which team's going to split if you have Miz and Morrison, for example, challenging RK-Bro down the line, even though I'm literally trying to think of any other heel tag teams, because I feel like I love AJ Styles and Omos, but I feel like they may have slightly run their course a little bit as tag champs, and I feel like RK-Bro have got the rub of the green right now.
I think as well, if you do something like neutralize Omos with an RKO on the floor or something, and he's just, that's the only thing they've been able to do to stop him. Like, Riddle has to lift his legs up just so Orton can RKO him off it or something like that. And then AJ is slim pickings for an RKO or a Bro Derek or whatever, something like that. You don't need to pin Omos just to get the belts off them.
Let's try and keep this as brief as the match is going to be. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Shanky and Veer, they're Jinder's heavies and they're banned from ringside. It's going to be a one-sided batter in this, isn't it? This is going to be short, hopefully, as well, with their timing issues.
If you've seen the Holy Grail, obviously Drew is going to cut off each one of Jinder's arms and legs. Jinder's going to say it's just a flesh wound, so then he's going to claim more aim in the head. And it's largely just members' body is just going to fall to the mat, because otherwise, why have they involved a sword? Wilborn, why have they involved a sword? We know why. Sidgwick nailed the pitch on the Raw preview. Jinder Mahal is going to himself. Literally. Wee and poo. Wee and poo, poo and wee and poo. Booked by a septuagenarian. Pooey, 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 pooey. Ex-WWE champion. Still can't get his title back in front of a crowd. But he makes a wrestler poo and wee himself. And with it's a sword.
Another one of those stories where they walk through. It's going to be standing ovation from it's like, my no headset.
It's like the idea as well that, like, Jinder Mahal, poo and wee, poo and wee, poo and wee. And then, like, Drew has to look at his sword and, like, this is for you, mum.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
Poo and wee, poo and wee, poo and wee.
Let's talk about a US Championship match. Sheamus, Damian Priest. Damian Priest, who, I mean, he's been, considering he's been the bloody zombie match, he's no flies on him, to be fair. I think this is ready-made for him to get this sort of mid-card title for the time being. You feel like he's going to be, you know, up in the main events soon enough. I've not heard many people say a bad thing about Damian Priest.
No, appropriated him with flies because he is indeed swimming in shit as well. no, in spite of, you know, the systemic rot that does away with so many of the young fledgling careers, Damian Priest has had a pretty tremendous 2021. It is quite something that basically he has only feuded with The Miz and Morrison, and I guess technically Sheamus for the benefit of this program, since he's arrived, and he doesn't feel terribly stale. I think there's actually been a couple of quite well-timed short-term injuries.
Mm.
Nothing serious, just something that has to take him off television so he's felt fresh. The United States Championship is not some sort of we're strapping the rocket to him, but the win and what that represents is he's going to win this belt. Ultimately, he's got to lose it at some point. But just like when Riddle lost it to Sheamus, that was a loss upwards. Mm-hmm. That'll be Damian Priest's loss upwards if they don't get bored of him in that time while he's got the title. I think this match should be decent. I think it's going to be hard-hitting. They're both big lads. They're both super experienced. A little bit of trivia, you know. Damian Priest, as we know, is a bit older than he looks, and Sheamus has been kicking around a long time. I had a look online. I think there is only 5 years difference in age between the cumulative total of Sheamus and Damian Priest and Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan in 1997. WWE called Age in the Cage. 5 years difference. But nonetheless, they should use that experience. They don't feel like ancient characters compared to as Hogan and Piper did in 97. I think the match should be decent. I wouldn't be doing backflips on its quality, but it will help Priest, and I think this good run of his will continue.
Yeah, and you could have, I don't know, AJ Styles potentially going after that afterwards. There'd be a hell of a feud to go forward. I'm just looking at people. I'm taking titles off on this show. Edge Seth Rollins, what a match that's going to be.
Yeah, love this. Another one that I think is pretty unpredictable. You can find reasons for both to win. Edge is still in the weird, he's nearly been back 2 years, but we're still in the honeymoon. That is evidenced by the fans' responses. Even if he wasn't saying, give it to me, they'd still be giving them to him because he's clearly beloved. Seth Rollins has been pretty good. I've enjoyed, I say this cautiously and nervously because I don't want to get burned by his next program being terrible. But I think this program's been entertaining, and he's been entertaining in it, and I think he's going to win here. Seth Rollins has been big on the, grandpa, you're really old. I'm the rated R superstar now. I'm everything that you can never be because you're too old for it. But he has done quite an effective job putting over what Edge has once had, even if he's not got it now. The only threat that you have, Edge, is if you can summon the guy that you used to be. And now Edge has taken to doing just that. He's trying to be a bit more sly. And there was that week when he kind of said, come on, not going to hit you. And then he hit him because the rated R superstar lurks underneath the rated DAR, super DAR. But he's this like old nice guy now, always with a smile and a hair rough for everyone. But he can be a dick if he needs to be. And that was what he was showing. I think he's going to show it in the body of the match. I think that's going to be great. But WWE deserve a bit of earnest credit here, honestly, for how long they've had Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns as a big title match on their mind. All of this began before Money in the Bank, when Seth Rollins walked into Adam Pearce's office and said, Paul Heyman was about to list a bunch of people that Roman Reigns has beat. He hasn't beaten me. And I'm not scared of him because I've beaten him before, the Shield, yada, 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 and still didn't get his title shot. It's like the bulldog throwing bins around at Stephanie McMahon. Where's my title shot? So he goes into Money in the Bank. He says, well, I'm doing better than you did, Edge. And Edge is like, fine, I'll just get my title shot just by getting one. So Seth gets more and more annoyed. The story's been genuinely well told to get us to this point. Seth winning is the end of that story. He's found himself with an unexpected problem when one day he just walked in and asked for a title shot. All of this has happened as a result. He deals with this problem at SummerSlam, and it sets him up for a pretty sizable Roman Reigns. Like, Seth is sort of the perfect B Roman Reigns opponent. He's right up there with Daniel Bryan. You get the feeling that Roman Reigns will beat him, but it's very easy to believe it as a challenge. So I think he wins here. Edge can absorb this and take another few months off, and they can set up something big for him whenever he fancies.
And I feel like if Edge is going to be elevated back into title picture, it's the WWE Championship rather than the Universal Championship. So maybe he's someone, again, who transfers to Monday Night Raw, for example, off the back of that. And maybe they have Seth and Roman at Extreme Rules, and they go, oh, do you remember when the Shield split and Seth hit Roman with a chair and there was no one else in the ring at the time? Remember that? I don't know. I can completely see where you're going, and I think you're probably right that Seth Rollins needs the victory to progress further, and has just sort of been an annoyance rather than a consistently victorious person. But it is Edge. No, I think you're probably right. I feel like Edge can lose, like you say, go off, maybe even gets, you know, several vicious curb stomps to, and you know, fulfill his
finish
promise.
The job,
exactly. Know, yeah. He goes away and then he can come back on Raw and he's not going to lost any of his shine, and people are still going to believe that, yeah, he could go in and win the world title just on the red brand rather than the blue one. Before we conclude this, there's another match I think we need to mention. I'll get to that in a second. Any surprise appearances, you reckon? Or are they going to save that maybe for the Raw after SummerSlam? Because it was when we speculated on Mania, obviously, it was like, well, they have to do it now because the next night they're in front of TV screens again. You know, Becky Lynch is a name that's always going to be mentioned in around this, and especially around this weekend, they want to dominate the conversation as well.
Yeah. As you say, there is a need and a thirst to make this SummerSlam weekend rather than anything else weekend. I'm not so sure on surprises. They will probably want to deliver something. So a Becky Lynch would be ideal, because all she needs to do really is walk out and stare down somebody. Also, what sprung to mind for me was, how did we get to John Cena versus Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns puts a guy away, then a thunderous pop at the surprise unannounced arrival of John Cena to come and challenge Roman, or at least look at him and say, down the road, it's going to be me and you. Could you mirror that with Brock Lesnar? And he doesn't even need to go to the ring. He just stands on the ramp and Michael Cole takes us off the air screaming, what does this mean? Because Paul Heyman at this point has manoeuvred himself to the middle of the ramp. He's got the Universal title in his hand, but he's got his original boy at the top of the ramp. And I just, something along those lines in the same vein that they brought Cena out. Just the music, just a quick stare off the air. It's going to drive people to SmackDown. It's going to be a huge talking point for the weekend. It's going to be the last thing that you see. And of course, they could probably wait till Survivor Series to do it, or Royal Rumble to do it, something like that. Maybe a Brock or a Becky, but something along those lines, I think, is all you really need.
I could genuinely see them going, well, you know what this means? SmackDown 3 hours going forward.
Oh, geez, I hope not.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's been whispered, hasn't it? Or I could see Becky, for example, if Charlotte does win the Raw Women's Championship again, or something like that would be great. Just a small matter of the SmackDown Tag Team. I don't know why I've left this to last. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. The Usos versus the Mysterios. Will they come via portal? And who leaves as SmackDown Tag Champs for you?
I totally forgot about the Mysterio portal. Why, it was on a kickoff? There was like, I don't remember an entrance as elaborate on the main show than the Mysterio's magic portal on the kick. What the was that?
I don't know.
I completely forgot about that. How much did that cost? Like, oh, my word.
That money is no object. They're trying to get into the podcast game.
I'm going to do it again. I felt a lot like Edge in this podcast. Give it to me. Yeah. SummerSlam, the place where dreams are made. The place where Randy Savage and Elizabeth got married in 1991. The place where we went on the highway to hell with Steve Austin and The Undertaker in 1998. The place where John Cena met his reckoning in the form of Brock Lesnar in 2014. The place where Triple H cried and everybody sang the goodbye song instead of saying thank you in, I don't know, 2012, 2013, they all melt together because he sucked. And the place in 2005 where a man climbed a ladder and said, where the f*** is Ricky? Because somebody had missed their cue in a match where a boy's custody was on the line. I've not forgotten. You've not forgotten.
Oh, no.
And Dominic Mysterio has not forgotten. The last month has been spent with Dominic winning the odd match, learning how to cheat, learning how to get on the Usos level. What's Dad been doing? Patronising him. Nobody likes getting patronised by their parents. I have become a parent and I feel it when I'm patronising my kids. He's been getting patronised. Come on, Dominic. Eyes on the prize, stay in the game, all that sort of stuff. What happened on the SmackDown 2 weeks before SummerSlam? Ray patronised him. Dominic won the match. Oh, Ray. He's still only got one eye, mate. You're not watching. Give your son a break. So anyway, Dominic's going to keep his eyes on the prize all the way through. Who's not going to? Ray Mysterio. Dad is going to let the side down. The Usos are going to retain. They're going to keep the belts, all go for the bloodline. On they go to whatever they're doing next. And the Mysterios are going to be left there. And Rey's like, it's okay, son. You kept your eyes on the prize, and that's the main thing. I kept my eyes on the prize, Dad.
And we're on the main card, though, so go on my shoulders, Dad.
He's like, Ray's injured his knee in the match, probably because they were working his leg, because he didn't keep his eye on the prize. And he's going to carry him back, and he's going to be like, no, come on, get my shoulders.
I would give you a piggyback, but I've greased my back because I know about them putting the feet on my back. So I've been thinking, Dad, I don't know if you realise this.
It's a big stadium, so of course, the road is long.
Honestly, if he goes up, I'm going to be...
So they've got to walk up the aisle with him on his shoulders, with his greasy back. But Rey Mysterio's so small, isn't he? He's so small. He ain't heavy. He's my father. Bang! Electric chair.
Yes!
It's been 16 years, Dad. It's been 16 years. You let Aaliyah date a wrestler, but you're telling me that I've not my eyes on the prize. And he just leaves him laying.
Speaking of eyes, I'm going to take yours at the next pay-per-view.
I remember, Dad. Eyes on the prize. I want your eyes for a prize, if anything.
Honestly, it's the longest running storyline we've
ever. That's never happened.
This is. I love the fact that we can compare this to me and you texting each other after SmackDown with like Bayley and Sasha Banks, one of the best like long term storylines they've done forever. Except this time, it's a sly look from a son at his dad going, "So you gonna spike the little prick on the ramp, you reckon?"
For a match with Samoa Joe that you didn't even end up ringside for. You were booking this for like WrestleMania in New York, and they were like, "Should we send Dominic out there? We did promote it. I bet we're going to the match go 30 seconds. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right, just send him home. We flew him all the way in here. Send him home."
Well, I can't wait now. Honestly, I know I think you're off on holiday from this weekend. Your phone, if this happens, I don't care if you're watching it or not, spoilers or not, I'll be going, it happened, mate.
The voice notes in my ear.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, I can't wait for SummerSlam. I really am looking forward to this pay-per-view, in spite of other things maybe slightly dominating the wrestling conversation this weekend. But we'll have to wait and see. This is, at time of recording at least, the biggest thing that's happening this weekend. But who knows? Let us know your thoughts ahead of SummerSlam on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, all your predictions and the like. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you join us, as I said, for our SummerSlam live stream on Saturday night on WhatCulture's YouTube channel. And subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts and all the fallout from what is a bloody brilliant weekend to be a wrestling fan, basically. But for now, this has been the SummerSlam preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.